Creekside with Don and Jan. Welcome to Creekside with Don and Jan. If you care to live in harmony with nature and the land, and you wish to live more peacefully with all your fellow man, if self-reliant living is a big part of your plan, if you like to talk some politics with those who really can, this is the time, this is the place, Creekside with Don and Jan. Sit right down and make some space, Creekside with Don and Jan. Let's get started right away, Creekside.
Exclaimed.
No more singing, no delay, Creekside with Don and Jan. Creekside with Don and Jan.
Well, howdy and welcome to another episode of Creekside with Don and Jan. I'm Don Stover.
And I'm Jan Stover, and this is October the 29th, and we have two guests tonight. We have our friend Ryan Johnson. Welcome.
Hello.
Ryan. And we also have Ghost Radar with us. So we'll explain later what that means. But in the background, if you hear someone blurt out a word, a single word, which you may have noticed happened through the intro music, that's Ghost Radar.
First word was why, and the second one was explain.
Exactly. I'm thinking we're going to learn something here tonight.
We may. We could. It's our Halloween extravaganza.
Ooh. We're having way too much fun already, folks.
No kidding. And so, yeah, Halloween's coming up Tuesday, and we thought, what the heck? Let's just talk about ghost stories and things that go bump in the night.
Well, and what intrigued us is last week before our podcast, Ryan, you stopped by to deliver us back a key, and we got talking about many things as we do.
Oh, yes.
And this just evolved.
Yeah, it was a derailed conversation from the beginning.
That's the only way to describe it, was
yeah,
derailed.
Sometimes
right.
Those are the best kind.
And the reason we've got the Ghost Radar here is, Ghost Radar, let me explain that real quick,
okay,
is an app for your phone, and it takes all of the electronics that the phone is, the 2.4 gigahertz wireless system, it takes the microphone, it takes the sensor of the screen, it takes all of the parameters that are human interface inputs and electronic inputs to the phone, including the microphone, and then amalgamates them through some special formula that's, you know, an algorithm inside the phone, inside the app, horse hockey, and spits out its results.
Aye, but you say horse hockey. I have to say things now before we get knee-deep in the rest of this show. I have had some really, I can't say conversations because they're pretty much single-sided, Ghost Radar just speaks, but I've had it say messages to me that are not just garbled up, jumbled up words that have no significance. I'm going to tell this. One time, we were sitting down at a restaurant, you and I, Don, and I put on the Ghost Radar just for the heck of it. And I said, okay, Mom and Dad, because Mom and Dad have passed away quite some time ago. And I said, if you're around, just say hey. And, you know, I'm game. And all of a sudden, these words that were very significant to my dad started coming on Ghost Radar. The first word was Don, which, by the way, is my dad's name. The second word is Jones, and that's my dad's last name. Right there, you know, what are the chances? So whether it's a real thing or not, Ghost Radar had our attention. Then it went on to say 11, which was my dad's number when he played basketball in high school. Then it said bowl, and my dad was a bowler. And then it said Dutch, and one of the guys on dad's bowling team was Dutch.
One of his best buds.
Yeah, so I'm saying, you know, whatever it's worth, it was something that I obviously have not forgotten all this time. So anyway, Ryan says he doesn't have Ghost Radar yet. Before the show's over, we'll have to get him hooked up.
Yeah, I'll probably download it.
Yeah, sounds like a plan to me.
Yes.
It's just a fun little app. It's not, I don't know that it's 100% scientific or not, but it does
chances
some strange
are,
things.
Chances are good it's not 100% scientific, but we'll take it.
Yeah.
And we'll run with it.
Yeah, we will. We also have, just to set the tone, we have some friends that are ghost hunters.
Mm-hmm.
And one of these ghost hunters has a company. She's called Boo Hunters. They're up in Springfield, Illinois. And her name is,
Rocky.
No. Her name is not Rocky.
Ghost Radar is confused.
Da, 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 da. That's the only thing I can think of is the music.
Donna Gaunt. Yes.
Right. And, you know, while I'm reading this letter from Donna, I think I'll just turn the ghost down here.
Okay, because he may... By the way, I don't know if we said, but Ghost Radar has its own microphone, so...
We put a microphone on Jan's iPhone, and it just, of course, said Rocky. And I'm looking at some of the other ethereal inputs here, and it's going J, 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 N, 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 A, 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 A. It doesn't know how to spell.
No, but, I mean, you know, it's pretty darn close if you're a ghost. One thing before you begin with the story that Donna so graciously has shared with us and we want to share with our listeners. This is another weird thing. Ryan and Donna and I are sitting here, folks, before the show starts, and we're talking about what all we plan to say. Now, we've sat in this same position many times. Just last week, we were all here. Mm-hmm. And I sit looking out onto the street in the building across the street, and I've never seen anything come up as an image on the street, on the building across the street. And all of a sudden, I see a cross and a bone. And we're just dumbfounded. So, Don, you went across the street to see what was a reflection, what it could be, and we can't find the source.
Yeah, the reflection is from windows on the building exactly next door to us here, and it's Dr. Steiner's second story windows, and it's crazy. It's just, you know, the surface of the windows is reflecting the sun onto First Bank across the street.
But there's nothing that should make that.
And there's nothing in those windows that should make that image. And we're going to put that up. That'll be our avatar.
It may be. Okay. Now, anywho. For the story from Donna and then the three of us.
Ryan, is your word shadow meter going off tonight?
Yes, sort of.
Sort of. Okay. Well, this is from Donna Gaunt, and pardon me if I get my tongue all tangled up here because I do that sometimes, and we'll just muddle on through. People often ask me how I got into ghost hunting, Donna writes, but the question really should be, how did ghosts get into hunting me? As far as I can remember, my first haunting was at the age of 4. I grew up in my grandparents' home on the southeast side of Chicago. My parents and I, along with my two older sisters, lived in a tiny 3-room apartment in the cold, dark basement of my grandparents' large 3-story home. Between the upright refrigerator and freezers in my grandparents' kitchen was the door that led down a steep and curving stairway. Through the basement and past the monster, the big, creepy, cold-eating... Turn him down there. There we go. The big, creepy coal heating furnace that was in the house. Each night, my two older brothers, sisters, and I would take turns going up after dinner to Grandma and Grandpa's to eat cookies and watch their favorite shows on their big console TV. Over time, the black and white was traded in for the first color TV of our neighborhood would ever see. That made TV night upstairs even more special for us. As I recall it, I was a mere 4 years old when it was my turn for TV nights upstairs. When it was bedtime, Mom would bang on the hot water heating pipes that ran along the ceiling of our basement apartment under my grandparents' living room. On this particular night, I did not heed the first notice, so the second, more pronounced banging of the pipes came about 5 minutes later. Reluctantly, I made my way to the basement door with Grandma close behind. She would stand at the top of those steep stairs while my mom would wait for me, unseen, around the corner in the doorway to our apartment. Being only about 4 years old, the steep and winding stairs were a treacherous hazard for a child. Painted gray, they were slick on slippered feet. Grandpa had lowered the railing so we little ones could hold on as we went down, but this was still not prevent the occasional stumble and fall. Having kissed Grandma and Grandpa goodnight, I made my way down the scary stairs. I was only 5 or 6 steps down when, to my shock, a man I did not know came around the curve and was slowly walking up the stairs towards me. I stopped in my tracks, squeezed the railing tighter, and stared wide-eyed at the stranger approaching me. When he lifted his head and looked up the stairs right at me, I let out a blood-curdling scream. I hightailed it back up the stairs, nearly knocking over poor Grandma in my flight back to Grandpa in the living room. Hysterically crying, I jumped into his lap, buried my face in his chest, and refused to budge. So terrified was I that the moments later, when my grandmother arrived in the living room, I couldn't speak. I sat there clutching into Grandpa as if my life had depended on it. When I refused to go back down those scary stairs, Grandpa picked me up and carried me out the front door, around the side of the house, down the gangway to the front door of our basement apartment, and placed me gingerly in bed. So tight was my grip on him that my fingers could not be pried away. He eventually crawled into the tiny folding bed with me and stayed there until, finally, I fell asleep. That night, and through the following days, everyone in the family grilled me about the incident on the stairs. I never told a soul what I saw or why I would not. For months later, use those stairs, go to Grandma and Grandpa's house. Memory fades over the years. I don't know if it was before or after this incident that my oldest sister awoke in the middle of the night, saw a man standing alongside her bed across the tiny room from mine, and ran screaming into the living room. She jumped onto the sleeper sofa with my parents, refusing to go back to her own bed. My mother left her to sleep with my dad. She came into our room and crawled into the double bed with my other sister. Some 30 years later, my mother would retell that story at family Christmas gathering, added that later that same night, she too awoke and saw a man standing at the side of the bed. Only then was my oldest sister prompted for the first time to describe the man she'd seen. Mom's jaw dropped in shock after more than 30 years, my sister described the exact same man my mom saw that night as well. I added to their amazement and reminded my mom of my own screaming staircase incident. 30 years later, I now told her that the reason for my outburst that night was I'd seen the exact same man coming up the basement stairs. He was wearing 1800s attire, consisting of dark pants, a white dress shirt, a tie, vest, and a pocket watch with a chain hanging out of the vest pocket. He had black hair and a few specks of gray and a black mustache. Later we discovered he was the original owner and builder of the house who passed away years before my grandparents ever bought it. Upon further research, we found a picture of the builder at the local historical records. He was wearing the exact same clothes the three of us saw him in. The popular song by the band Three Dog Night from 1969 always gave me a bit of a chill. The beginning of the song starts out with the lyrics, "Eli's coming." The name of the man who built my grandparents' house was Eli Stone. When I hear that song, I think of him coming up the stairs at me some 54 years ago. Perhaps when next you hear that same song, you'll think of the story and a chill will run through you as it does me to this very day. Donna Gaunt, Boo Hunters founder. Facebook.com/Boo Hunters.
Yeah. There, you can connect up with Donna and tell her your own ghost stories. I think they go out and do findings or what's the word when you...
They do readings, etherical readings, and you know, and locate.
Debunk. That's what I. Sometimes yeah. They debunk too.
Sometimes
you know,
they bunk.
Sometimes they bunk. Sometimes they debunk. And speaking of haunted houses, I know Ryan, you were interested in the Amityville Horror book, movie, and legend. So
yes,
share a little of that.
Pretty much anything to do with that, and I don't know why. I just find it very interesting. There's some undisputed facts with that story that in November of 1974, Ronald DeFeo Jr. murdered his parents and four of his brothers and sisters in that house. Fact. Mm-hmm. He was convicted of murder. Also fact. In December of 1975, George and Kathy Lutz purchased the house and moved out 29 days later.
That's even a full month there.
Right. What happens in between there is the subject of the speculation, and every subsequent owner of the property says that they have experienced nothing paranormal. So what happened in those 29 days is what's very interesting.
And what made the book and the movie possible, correct?
Yes. It could be completely 100% a hoax, or it could be true.
And just because something happened and then stopped doesn't mean it didn't happen.
Oh,
so,
true.
You know, that's the thing we always like to ponder is, and I, you know, Don, have we ever watched the Amityville Horror together?
Not yet.
Tonight after this podcast.
Of course, it's Halloween.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. And if you need any priming for the Halloween season, although Halloween is only 2 days away.
That's right.
Now.
Prime fast. Yes. Prime fast.
I was suggested to read a book when I was here last week.
Yes.
And I had read it twice since then.
Oh, cool.
Yes. Reaper by Shane Bowen is an incredible story that takes place in and around Greenville, mm-hmm. which made the book better, in my opinion.
Oh, see, that's what I thought, too. Knowing some of the places that it takes place and also knowing some of the people in it, I couldn't put it down. I just read it quickly.
Yes. The first time I read it was two bath sessions with my children while I was sitting in the bathroom supervising them.
So you're not and saying then, you read this out loud to them.
No,
this
no,
was your
no.
your downtime when it came to that.
But yeah. When an author describes a place, you think of some place familiar to you.
Mm-hmm.
You
know,
maybe your aunt's house or a friend's house or something like that. But when he is describing a place that you have been several times, if not hundreds of times,
mm-hmm.
growing up, it really latched onto the story, and it was great.
That's
it gets your attention, doesn't it?
Yes.
I think that, I think I described that book as I made it through about the first 10 paragraphs and scared the living daylights out of me. It did, because I knew exactly where he was talking about, and I had to set the book down. I'm that sensitive to that kind of stuff. I'm too old to be embarrassed by it anymore. You know?
Yes.
Well, and Shane is working on another book, and he told me to tell Don that if the Reaper scared him, that's a children's book compared to what he's working on now. So we're not even going to let Don open the book. I'll just have to read it in another room.
I hope it starts as quickly.
Yes.
This really started with a bang. This
right.
was no two or three chapters of just plain introduction.
And that's probably why it scared Don right off the bat. There was no, you know, there was no
yes.
leeway. It was like, there you are.
Bang.
Yes, right.
Yeah, so it does grab you. It reaches out and grabs you. And that's what any good writing will do. It should do anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just I couldn't go forward with it because I'm too sensitive for that stuff.
Oh, well.
Oh, well.
So
I'm such a girl sometimes.
So we talked about Amityville Horror. We've talked about Reaper. All perfect titles for this show. Is there any personal experiences you've ever had that you want to share that left you ooing, awing, cowering?
Well, there are times where the hair on the back of your neck stands up for apparently no reason.
Mm-hmm.
What that reason is, who knows? But I have been a lover of spooky things
mm-hmm.
for as long as I can remember.
Well, we've all sat around when you kids were little even, and as I recall, there was one time when you kids were over and my mom was there, and she was always came to do anything we were doing. It was like, let's tell scary stories. And I think we got the Ouija board out.
Oh, yes.
Which a lot of people think is demonic, and I don't know, but Don, you said something really funny.
Oh, I threw it away. You guys could have the Ouija board made by Milton Bradley, but the one we had was made by demons.
That's what you said.
That's the one I threw out.
The demonic. Yes. Milton Bradley didn't have anything to do with that version.
No.
It was just a fun thing.
It went in the trash. Burn it.
and on a lighter note, we used to, when my girlfriends and I would get together in, you know, grade school, junior high, and we'd be playing with the Ouija board, and we would ask such silly things. And one time we said, okay, we tried to conjure up the spirit of Walt Disney. Now, of all the things that someone from the other side might want to tell us, I don't know why we decided Walt Disney was the person we were going to go to, but we did. He didn't answer, by the way.
Well, and the more you know about Walt Disney, the more that probably would have been the spookiest option.
Oh, well, tell us what you know that we might not.
Oh, he's just the twist on every story that he ever tells.
Oh, I see what you're saying, yeah.
He was an interesting character, no doubt about that. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
But why, you know, teenage girls or younger, I guess, would want to talk to Walt Disney is beyond me, but we did. But like I said, he didn't talk back. But we've had some interesting things in our house over the years.
Yeah. And not a one of them was driven by the character's voice of Mel Blanc. So
that's true. We,
you know, I will sit in the, you know, once again, this is the sensitive Don part. I can sit in our living room and I will sense things. Now, we live in a house that has had many, many occupants. It's one of the oldest homes in Greenville. Mm-hmm. And there's just, and that's where it is. That's what happens. People live and die in those houses. Mm-hmm. And we are fully aware of that. I will, on occasion, this is as good as it gets for me, I will feel things. And I will see things out of the side of my straight vision.
Floating and, by?
walking up the stairs or, mm-hmm. just, you know, something slipping by. And when I get confirmation of it from the cat.
Yes.
That's when the hair stands up on the back of my neck. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I see something, you know, and then the cat's eyes fix on whatever I was looking at or whatever floated by.
The feline nose.
Oh, yeah. You know, so it's like, oh, okay, there's something there. That's cool.
And right. I know exactly what you're talking about because your house was my second home from probably the age of 7 until college age.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maybe even younger. You kids met when you were like 5.
Yes, but you guys were living over
on... Oh, that's right. We were at the other house. Yeah. So this, gotcha.
But in that house, I mean, he was sliding down the stairs on cardboard in his undershorts. So.
Oh, yes.
With the rest of the kids. So.
Do not let that be a cover photo of the magazine, please.
Okay. I do have a photo of that. But
you but have that photo? Oh, yeah.
That's I know right. exactly what you're talking about when you say that. Something will grab your attention... And you will look,
and
there is nothing there.
Mm-hmm. But the cat focuses on it. It's like, you know, and watches it go up the stairs. Or oh, that's weird.
Well, and I remember a comedian once was doing a show on HBO or something. They were saying, you know, it's really scary. You're home alone. You get in bed. You've got, you know, the lights are all off. You cuddle down to go to sleep. And then your cat sits up straight and stares at something. And you're thinking, we're going to die. The cat sees something. I don't know what it is.
Swing away.
Cats are strange beings to begin with.
They really are. They have a life separate of the humans they live with.
Oh, yeah. I think it's, you know, we are conditioned. I know we're conditioned as humans to filter things out. Cats are not, and dogs for that matter too, but dogs just don't care. Cats are always on the lookout. Cats are always on edge because that's what they do.
Well, I think dogs are on the lookout, but in a different way, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're there to protect their master, where the cat's just curious.
Yeah.
Hence the nine lives or the need for
it. And curiosity killed the cat.
Exactly.
So, but as humans, we are conditioned away from such things, and they're not. So maybe they can see things that we can't see. I don't know. And maybe a sensitive cat is one that's recommended to be had by the Boo Hunters. We'll have to ask.
Maybe so. Yeah. Well, some of the things I know I've told you too, and I've told lots of people, but I don't think I've told our listeners. In the house I grew up in over in Vandalia, we had all kinds of strange things happen. And one of the ones, then people that know our oldest son, Zach, know he was born at 11-11. Well, not everybody would know that. But so a month before Zach was born, every night my parents' clock would stop at 11:11, and Dad would get up and, you know, notice it, and he at various times throughout the night or the day would, you know, change the clock, check the batteries, whatever it was, and again that next night, 11:11, we'd wake up and there that clock would be stopped, and Zach was born at 11:11. So it's like, I don't know what that would mean. I don't know why any ghost or entity would say, this is what I want to do for the next month, but
Zachary's coming.
That's right.
Zachary's coming.
And then we had all kinds of other things, too. I remember one Thanksgiving, we had whole family over, and this is when I was in high school, and we'd put everything up. Some of the food was left out on the table, but, you know, the bulk of it had gone back into the refrigerator and all containers filled and everything. And so, you know, like you do about 4 or 5 in the evening, you're like, afternoon, I want to go eat something again. So,
got to have a sandwich, white bread, turkey, mayonnaise.
And we used to use butter sometimes, too, which brings me to this story. Mom and I remember putting the butter up as one of the things we got back in the refrigerator. And we're sitting there talking about wanting to go eat something again, and we hear this splat. It's just a splat. Mom and I are the only ones. Everyone else has kind of cleared out of the area. And I was like, let's get up and see what that is. And the butter was back on the table, splatted down on a plate. So who knows how that got there or why, but, you know, you just have to go, what do they say? Something, things that make you go, And that was one of them.
Yeah, that would cause your weird crap-o-meter to go off like crazy.
And we used to hear footsteps upstairs enough that one time I was there with my boyfriend, and Mom and Dad were on their way home, and we heard footsteps upstairs so much that we were certain there was somebody up there. Well, my boyfriend says, "I'll go check," and he goes out to the kitchen.
The big man.
That's right. And he went to get a butcher knife out of the kitchen, and we were sure there was somebody up there. So Mom and Dad get home, and we tell them, you know, my boyfriend's upstairs, and we hear the footsteps. My dad goes up. There's nobody there, but you can hear a walk. You know, you hear people walking across when you're downstairs. So all those things never amounted to anything in and of themselves. But when you put them all together, you can't help but think, what the heck is going on? So I know over the years you've said you've had Boy Scout stories, and we're not going to ask you to recall one to put you on the spot. But that's a perfect time when you're at Boy Scouts to sit around a campfire and share spooky stories.
Yes. When you're out alone in the middle of the woods, no lights.
Because that's where so much happens out there.
Yes,
in the woods.
It's where it always happens.
Yeah, that's how half of every horror movie starts, as a camping trip.
Do you remember the backyard? Were you, was it Gabe's event that we had the Blair Witch Project in our backyard?
Well, it wasn't quite the Blair Witch Project. It was pretty darn creepy back there.
it creeped me out, too.
Yeah, and speaking of Blair Witch, those were creepy shows. Have you seen those?
Yes.
Long time ago or recent?
Well, I watched the new one on Hulu 2 nights ago.
We started to, so is it good?
Yes.
That's a discerning yes. It doesn't make us want to go home and watch.
And what did we watch last night? Arrival.
Arrival is a creepy movie, too. But a whole different kind of creepy. It doesn't involve ghosts and unknown entities. They're aliens.
Yeah. So that was fun. Mm-hmm. Well, we're about out of time.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
We have more creepy things to say, don't we?
Well, better say them quickly. Yeah.
To be continued.
To be continued. Do we have to wait till next year?
We could probably do this after All Saints Day.
We could. Or this could become the annual Creekside with Don and Jan special guest Ryan Johnson Ghost Radar episode.
It could be.
We could be more prepared next time.
No, we just had fun talking.
We did have fun. So,
and we remember, there's one other thing coming up.
Oh, there's another creepy thing.
No, it's not creepy. Well, it's creepy in some regards, but remember the 5th of November, the gunpowder treason and plot. I, for one, can see no reason it should ever be forgot.
And government is the creepiest thing of all.
Yes.
Just saying.
You betcha. Anyhow, rent V for Vendetta if you've got nothing else to do. If you need a little Halloween, you know, a little palate cleanser. Palate cleanser from all of the Halloween movies. Rent V for Vendetta at your local video store. Probably never find it on anything but DVD. So if you're looking for a tape, it in there. V for Vendetta. And remember the 5th of November.
And buy a copy of Reaper.
Oh, my goodness. Shane Bowen.
Yes.
Outthewindowbooks.com.
Right.
And you'll enjoy that. Hey, it's been fun, and it's been real. It's been real fun.
And I have to say, happy Owl-loween.
Well, there's the owl. So, y'all take care now.
Thanks, Ryan.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Ghost Radar, play us out.
Coming. Enemy. Orbit. Meet. Good. Come.